powerful, influential force on the face of this earth. America's in big trouble today. We're like a ship that is lost at sea, without a rudder, without a compass, and on a dark, stormy night, and the anchor is gone. What is the anchor? What is it that holds the home? It is motherhood. And there's a war going on today in America against motherhood. I know the husband is the head of the home. My Bible tells me that. But I want to tell you something. The mother is the heart of the home. In a day when Planned Parenthood makes the wrong plans for an unborn baby, I want to look at Hannah, who made the right plans. Hannah was barren, and Hannah wanted a baby. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and they practiced polygamy in that day, and he had two wives. One was named Peninnah, and she had children. The other was named Hannah, and she was barren. Hannah, her name means grace, and she was a gracious lady, but Hannah did not have it easy in life. Elkanah had two wives, and the other wife, Peninnah, she had children, and she mocked constantly and made fun of Hannah because Hannah was barren. Hannah's heart cried out to the Lord, however, constantly, because she wanted a baby. She wanted a son. She wanted a son that she could raise for God, a son that she could give back to God. Hannah is a picture of a mighty mom, and I want us to take a close look at her today. And I want to give five principles today that if you're a mother or a grandmother, or if you want to be a mother, someday these five principles, they will help you. These principles come right out of the life of Hannah, and they come right out of the Word of God. You may be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm a man, and I will never have a baby. I will never be a mom. Well, that's okay, because these principles, they apply to you also. They apply to a man, to a woman, or to anyone who wants to succeed in life. Do you want to succeed in life? Do you want your life to count for something? If you do, then you need to listen very carefully to these five principles. Today, we want to think about these principles, however, and we want to think about how do these five principles apply to motherhood. And these principles give us some guidelines for raising godly kids in an ungodly world. Look at the world that we live in. If there's ever been a time that the church needed to let its light shine, it's the day in which we live. If there's ever been a day that the world needed the church, it's the day and the hour in which we live. I want to talk to you this morning about mighty moms. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day where we honor mothers. It's also the Lord's Day where we worship our King, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We thank you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you, Father, and we come through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we've already been seated in heavenly places through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Let me preach your word with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Five principles that will maximize your potential. Principle number one, priority. Hannah had her priorities in order, and her priority was that she would have a child. She didn't get her priorities out of order. She was married. And I keep saying that because our culture endorses having children outside of marriage. But that is not the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern is get your priorities in order. I'm not being harsh. I'm not being hard. I'm just telling you how to have life and have it more abundantly. Hannah had her priorities in order, and her priorities were that she would have a child. 1 Samuel 1:10, and she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. She had her priorities in order, and she cried out, "Oh God, oh God, I want a baby. This is the desire of my heart. God, I want a little baby." She had a God-given instinct for that child, and that instinct was put in her heart by Almighty God. And she knew what the Bible teaches over and over again, that children are a blessing from the Lord. I look at my children, and I look at your children, and now I'm a granddaddy, and I look at those beautiful grandchildren, and I think about how gracious and how wonderful God has been to all of us. And I look at our mothers, and I look at what you've gone through in rearing your children, and how much love is in this place today. But children, they are a blessing from the Lord. Look at Psalms 127 and 3. Look at this. Lo, children are an inheritance from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Isn't that beautiful? Children are a blessing. Children are not a burden. They are a blessing from the Lord. Notice how God describes the husband, however. Psalms 128, verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you fear God? Do you worship God in spirit and truth? I'm going to talk to men for a moment now. If you love God, if you will worship God, if you will serve God, if you will bring your family into the house of God, God says, if you'll fear me and worship me and reverence me, I'll bless you. How many of you want to be blessed? Go and praise God for his blessings. Amen. See, children are a blessing from the Lord. And that's something basically wrong in America when little children are looked upon as burdens rather than blessings. Amen. And not only is that something basically wrong in our nation, but there's something drastically wrong when little babies are put to death in their mother's womb. The mother's womb should be the safest place on planet Earth. Yet look what we're doing to this nation through Planned Parenthood. We need to get back to biblical standards. We need to worship God. We need the whole family in church. We need pregnant women that are married that can rear children in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. Bring their families to the house of God so that the church can be the church that God planned in his word. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God help us to get our priorities back in order. And let me say this. My heart goes out to those who would love to have children, and you cannot have children for whatever reason. And God knows your heart, and God knows that you would love to have children if you could. But to those of you who can and who refuse because you want more of this world's goods, or you want more freedom, as our feminists tell us, I want to tell you that you are missing an incredible blessing when you don't have children. Amen. You may say, well, Pastor, I might have to give up my job, or I might have to give up one of my automobiles, or I might not be able to have this thing or that thing, or I may not be able to take that vacation that we have planned for our family. Well, Pastor, if I had children, they would make us poor. Listen to me very carefully. Children don't make rich people poor. They make poor people rich. Hallelujah. They make poor people rich because children are a blessing from God. My children are grown and gone. We've got what you call an empty nest at home. But I tell my children, I said, you will never, ever get out of my prayer life. I will stay in contact with you. You are mine. I love you, and I will stay in contact with you. If you have a need, I want you to work. I want you to do what you can. I want you to succeed in life. But if you have a need, you call Daddy, because Daddy will be there for you. How many parents out there will be there for their children if they need them, even after they've left the nest? Go on, praise God. I see you nodding your head. I tell you, the home is something important, and we need to guard our homes. Amen. We need to make sure that everything in our lives are in order. What was it that made Hannah this great woman in the Bible? Well, she had her priorities in order. She did not think it was less than the best to be a mother. She cried out, "Oh God, give me a baby." Principle number one, priorities. Principle number two, prayer. When you get your priorities lined up, then your prayers will line up with your priorities. Notice verse 10, 1 Samuel 1 and 10. "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord." See, the first principle is priority. The second principle is prayer. When do you begin to pray for your children? Not after they are born, but before they are born. Not after they are conceived, but before they are conceived. I saw this on Facebook the other day, and I'm going to read this quote, and I thought how ungodly and how out of order that is. I quote, "When my children were small, I talked to them about Jesus. But now that they are older, I talk to Jesus about them." End of quote. Isn't that ridiculous? You should talk to God about your children before they're born. You should talk to God about your children. If you're a Christian, you should talk to God about your children after they're born. You're to teach them about Jesus. But before they ever get here, you're to say, "God, we want children. And we want to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we want our children to serve you, God. And we're going to teach them and get our priorities in order. We're going to pray and we're going to be a blessing to our home." You know, you can bless your home or you can curse your home. Some people curse their home, but the way they treat their mate. If you married them, praise God, fall in love with them all over again. Relight the flame. Get you a torch if you have to, but praise God, relight the flame and put some fire and put some passion in that marriage. And you'll be so glad you did. You only got so much time to spend here on planet Earth. Why don't you spend it enjoying yourself and put the devil where he belongs, under your feet? Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Children ought to be an answer to prayer. Here's Hannah, and she's praying to God with all her heart. And she's crying out to God in prayer and saying, "Oh Lord, I must have children." She was desperate for a child. There were other women in the Bible who were barren, and they were desperate for a baby also. And God, in his grace, he gave them a child, and that child blessed and changed the world. Sarah, she's an example. She was barren. She was 90 years of age, and she met the Lord, and the Lord blessed her. And she had a son, and his name was Isaac, and he has blessed the world. Then there was Rachel. She was barren. And she prayed, "Oh, Lord, give me children or lest I die." And God heard her prayer and God gave her a son. And his name was Joseph. And if you want to read what a blessing he was, just look at his story, the story of Joseph in the Bible and how God answered his prayer. He was a world changer, hallelujah. He was the man that God sent down into Egypt so that he could prepare things for his people. What has God purposed for the child that God wants to give you? You may be barren, but that's all right. Cry out to God. Amen. Ruth was barren, wanted a child, and she found grace and favor. I like that. She found favor with God, and God blessed Ruth. Amen. He granted her a child. What was his name? His name was Obed. And Obed was the grandfather of King David, from whose line and lineage the Messiah came in answer to prayer. Then there was Elizabeth. She did not have a child. She was barren, and she prayed, "Oh, God, I want a child." And God answered her prayer, and God gave her a son, John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was that voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. What a blessing God gave to Elizabeth, John the Baptist. And now we come to Hannah. And Hannah prayed, and God gave to Hannah little Samuel. And he was the greatest individual in the Old Testament between Moses and King David. And God gave her that child simply because she prayed and she said, God, oh God, I want a baby and I'll give that baby back to you. Hallelujah. See, there are principles found in the Word of God. This is one of the principles of prayer right here. Wouldn't you agree that we need more people in this world that are born in answer to prayers? And then they're given back to God in prayer before they're ever born. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you agree that it's true? Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy of unwanted children. And we're aborting them in America, and it's a tragedy. God help us. What would the world be like without Isaac? What would the world be like without a Joseph? What would the world have been like without John the Baptist? What would the world have been like without Samuel? See, we're praying and saying, God, give us an answer. Give us someone. God, give us an answer to cure cancer. We're saying, God, give us some cure for that dreaded disease, AIDS, that's infected our culture. Oh, God, help us in this problem. Oh, God, help us in that problem. God may have already sent the answer, and that answer was snuffed out in the mother's womb. I hope this message penetrates your heart. How do we know that God hasn't already sent some great world leader or some great preacher or some modern day prophet, but that little baby was unwanted and it was killed in the mother's womb? I'm a military man. I'm a war veteran. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't have it in me to kill a little baby like that. I mean, you put me in combat and my life is on the line, I'll stand up and do what I've got to do. But I couldn't kill a little baby. I love little babies. I love families. I love people. And we need to get a love and a respect for the sanctity of life once again in this nation. Glory to God. Thank you for being here today as a family. Thank you for allowing your children to be born and to live out what God has purposed and planned for their lives. Remember the first principle, priority. The second principle, prayer. Because your prayers must line up with your priorities. Principle number three, purpose. Purpose. You see, your prayers and your priorities, they determine your purpose. So notice what Hannah's purpose was. 1 Samuel 1 and 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. What does that mean, no razor shall come upon his head? That meant in the Old Testament that she was going to give him to the Lord to be a Nazarite. Nazarites, they were a special group of people, and they were given over to God in a very special way. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 5, it speaks of how these Nazarites were to be raised. Look at 1 Samuel 6 and 5. All the days of the vows of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the day be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his hair grow. What Hannah was saying is this. I want a holy child. I want a child separated unto the Lord. And here's the principle. If the child is a gift from God, and if the child came from God, then the child should be given back to God. We do this all the time when we dedicate babies. Do you know something that most people in the church don't do anymore. They don't come to me and say, "Pastor, I want my baby dedicated." They don't think it's anything important. That tells me they're sitting in the church, but the church and the Word of God is not in them, because if they understood the principles in the Bible, they say, "God, you gave me this baby. I'm giving this baby back to you," just like Hannah did. Hannah's a mighty mom. Are you a mighty mom? Get your priorities in order. Get your prayers in order. Hallelujah. And then get your purpose in order, and you'll find life, and you'll have it more abundantly. Jesus is the Word. He said, "Thou, my word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path." And if you want your life to be blessed, get it lined up with the Word of God. Get your priorities in order. Hallelujah. Did God hear her prayers? She said, "Lord, if you will give him to me, I will give him back to you." That prayer had to be in the will of God. That prayer had to be put in her heart by God, because God heard that prayer and God answered that prayer. So if you pray and ask God to give you a child, then your prayer must follow that child, and you must have a purpose for that child. If you prayed and asked God for a child, then your prayer should follow that child, and you should have a purpose for that child that God has given into your care. Do you know why so many prayers are unanswered? People say, "Well, I prayed for my child, but God didn't seem to hear my prayers." Well, let me ask you a question. What are you praying for? What are you praying for your child? What are your desires for your child? Now think about it. What do you want out of your child that God has given to you? What do you want for your child that God has given you? What are you praying for? Health, success, popularity, fortune, fame? Is that what you want for your child? Is that what you're praying for your child? I hope your children have all of those things. But what are you praying for your child? Some people don't want their children to go into the ministry, and they think that would be such a tragedy. What a terrible mistake it would be if my child decided to go into the ministry. They feel like going into the ministry would be a waste of time. And they never stop to think, when God calls a person into the ministry, that the greatest thing that could ever happen to that person would be, "I have found my purpose." Hallelujah. Pray that your child will find their purpose in life. If God has purpose for my children to preach, praise God, I want them to preach. If God has purpose for them to be businessmen and businesswomen, I pray that that's exactly what they'll be. And they'll make plenty of money and they'll succeed. But they'll find their purpose in life. And once they find their purpose in life, guess what? They'll tithe to the church, and they do. They'll give to the church, and they do. They'll work in the church, and they do. Is that what you want for your child? Then go on, praise God. Say, "I'm getting my priorities in order. I'm getting my prayers in order. And I'm getting my purpose in order, God." Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I ran from God for 37 years of my life. I did. I heard God call me when I was a little boy. I'd run out the side of the church. My mother and daddy were in the singing ministry, and they had to be up in the choir, and they couldn't see where I was, because I can see myself now running out of that side door to church. I was running from God just as hard as I could. I'd go in there and I'd feel God call me, call me, call me. And I ran from God, but God was gracious to me. I had a very successful career in the business world. But then I got saved, and guess what? When I got saved, I found my purpose. Hallelujah. I had a blessed career, but that career never brought me fulfillment. I'm called to preach. And when I yielded to that call, that is when I found my purpose in life. I don't preach because I have to. I don't preach because I've got to earn a living by preaching. I preach because I'm called to preach, and I preach because I love to preach. I've got something to say. God called me to preach, and He anointed me to preach, and that's what I do, and that's what I love to do. They offered me a job in the business world making more money than I ever made. I said, no, I retired to preach. Some preachers, they get into this thing, and they say, well, I'll just get me a bigger church. Don't look for a bigger church. Find your purpose. Find where God planted you. And work and work and work and work. And keep on working. And work like there's no tomorrow. And work like He could come any day. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Find your purpose in life. And you'll find joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Hallelujah. Do you want to know what my desire is for my children? And my wife, Teresa, she joins me in this too. Look at 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Thank you so much for being in the house of God today. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's it. That's it right there. I have no greater joy than to know that. I have no greater desire for my children than to know that they love Jesus and that they are walking in the truth of His word. That should be the purpose of every parent's heart right there. I don't know how many times I've preached this, and I don't know how many times I've prayed this over my children, but I claim this as a promise right here for my seed. You can claim it too. Psalm 103 verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children. Because mother and daddy had a right standing with God, God's hand reached to me. I came into a right standing. Because I got a right standing with God, God's hand reached to my seed, and they came into a right standing. Get your priorities in order. Get your prayers in order. Get your purpose for your children in order. And God will start answering your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 103 verse 18. He said, His righteousness to the children's children. Look at this. To such as keep His covenant. You want your prayers answered? And those that remember His commandments to do them. See, live with purpose. And God will bless you. And God will bless your seed if you will live with purpose. God is a covenant-keeping God. And God will do His part if we will do our part. I said God is a covenant-keeping God, and God will do His part if we will do our part. Hallelujah. I want to give you a prayer this morning to pray over your children. It's right out of the Bible. And you know your prayer is in the will of God if it comes out of the Word of God. Amen? You want to know how to pray for your children? Here it is, a great prayer. Paul prayed it for the church at Ephesus. But now you can pray it for your children. If you come to the Friday night prayer meeting, there's a little handout I give praying. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. This is in there in the first person because I taught people to pray it that they would receive these things that come to prayer. I want you to grow in grace and knowledge. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of might. I want you to rise up in the things of God. The world needs you. Hallelujah. And guess what? The world needs your children too. And the world needs for your children to serve God and my children to serve God. Look at Ephesians 3:14. Paul said, and this is a prayer you can pray over your children. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're a family. That He would grant you, my children, your children, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a great prayer to pray over your family? Isn't that a great prayer to pray over your children that are a gift from God? God gave them to you. If you haven't dedicated your baby, see me, or if you'd rather Pastor Ricky to do it, praise God, he'd love to dedicate your baby. But he gave them to you. Give them back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many times the reason our prayers are not being answered is because we're not praying the right prayers for them. The Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. Get your priorities in order, and your prayers will be in order. And then your purpose for living will be in order. Hannah had a purpose, and her purpose was, God, I want a baby. I want a child that will serve you. Now you can't make your children serve God. Teresa and I, we have goals for ourselves, and we have desires for our children. And there's a big difference between a goal and a desire. Well, Pastor, what is the difference between a goal and a desire? Never set a goal for someone else. You make a big mistake if you set a goal for somebody else. The only person you can ever set a goal for is you. We have desires for others. Our desire is for godly children. I cannot say that my children will be godly. That's my desire for them. But I pray that my children will be godly. I pray that I will be a godly father. That is my goal. I try to live a life that will influence them as a godly father. Have desires for your children. Have goals for yourself. So mothers, pray and ask. And say, God, by God's grace, I want to be a mighty mom like Hannah was. Make that a personal goal. Here's what Hannah prayed. Lord, I want him to serve you. First principle, priority. Lord, give me a child. Second principle, prayer. He was prayed for before he was born, and he was prayed for after he was born. Thirdly, third principle, purpose. I want him to serve you, God. I want him to be separated and holy unto you. Principle number four, persistence. Persistence. 1 Samuel 1 and 12. Let's read some Bible. And it came to pass that as she continued praying, do you see that? As she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For all you sipping saints out there watching by live stream, she said, I'm not a child of the devil. I'm not a drunken. Why, I'm not given over to strong drink. That thing doesn't have its grips on me. I'm not a slave to that. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I love the Lord. Look at verse 16. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaints and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petitions that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hallelujah. She knew God was going to answer her prayer. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I asked him of the Lord. Now, not only did she pray before he was born, but she continued to pray after he was born. She prayed even on dark days. What is the principle? Here it is. No matter how dark, no matter how desolate, no matter how difficult, pray, 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 and keep on praying. God answers prayer. If you know it, go on and give him a praise. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. Pray, 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 and keep on praying. You know, Teresa and I, we joined together in our prayers for our children. And we've done it for all of them on many difficult days. Amen. Pray and pray. Pray with unwavering faith. Pray with unwavering determination. And ask God and wait on God until the answer comes. Over and over again in the Word of God, we are told to wait on God. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at Psalms 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Look at Psalms 27, 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Over and over again, we are told in the Word of God to wait upon the Lord. We are to persevere in prayer. And because of Hannah's perseverance, her sorrow was turned to joy. Hallelujah. Now, you may be praying for a child and you say, Pastor, you're not preaching to me this morning because I want a baby, but I can't have a baby. I've done everything I can, and this sermon is breaking my heart, Pastor. And this sermon is making me feel guilty. Well, I don't want to do that. That's not my purpose this morning. Because it may be that God has another plan for your life. And if God does, just persist in prayer. And keep on praying until you know the will of God for your life. Amen. Keep on praying. But pray and keep on praying. That's the key. Some of the most godly people in the Bible, they weren't able to have children. But God gave to this woman a little baby boy because of her persistence. And she named him Samuel. And do you know what Samuel means? Samuel means ask of the Lord. She said, I have asked of the Lord. That's exactly what, you can go back and look at it in the Bible. She said, I've asked of the Lord, and he is my answer. This is my little answer to my prayers. Hannah was a mighty, mighty mother because she knew the priority. She knew the power of priority. She knew the power of prayer. She knew the power of purpose. She knew the power of persistence. And here's the fifth one right here. Principle number five, persuasion. And by the way, these principles will apply to a dad, to a mom, to any individual who will apply them. Now you get your priorities right, and you get your prayer life right, and you get your purpose right, and you get your persistence right, and then you begin to do what you alone can do to persuade that child, to persuade that baby that God gave you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 1:21. And the man Elkanah and all his home went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Do you see what she's saying? She's saying this. Now look, there are some things that people think are very, very important in life. But I've got something that I've got to do that's more important than anything else. She said, I'm going to persuade this little child. I'm going to teach this little child. And then I will bring him, look at the latter part of that verse, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Look at verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until he was weaned. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. She took an offering to worship the Lord when she carried a child up to offer him to the Lord. Look at verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood there, that stood here praying unto the Lord. For this is the child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. So long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Who worshiped the Lord there? Samuel. He worshiped the Lord there. That baby had become a child, and he worshiped the Lord. That worship was built into him by his mother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She said to her husband, all right, if you're going up, you go up, but I'm staying here with my baby. I'm staying here with this baby. This is my baby that the Lord has given me. And I'm going to nurse this baby. And I'm going to teach this baby. And I'm going to train this baby in the ways of the Lord. She said, I'm taking care of this child. And now I'm bringing this child to the house of God. This is my baby. And I'm going to persuade him in the ways of the Lord. God gave her a baby. She treasured every moment that she had with that child. These were tender years. These were formative years. She was making memories. I'll never forget. I took some snapshots up in the mountains, and I sent them back to my daughter. And she said, Daddy, we were making memories. And when I send things now to the other children, I say, we're making memories. Memories are wonderful things. See, Hannah gave that baby away. She gave him to the Lord. Amen. She taught him godly values, and Samuel became a great man of God. Never, never, never underestimate the influence of a mother. The head of the home is the daddy, but the heart of the home is the mother. Happy Mother's Day. Let us stand.
I give myself away. I give myself away.
I give myself to you, Lord.
You can use me. I give
those beautiful children you've given me, I give them back to you, Lord.
I give myself away.
I love you, Lord.
So you can use me.
Help me, Lord.
I give myself away.
Get my priorities in order. Help my prayers to please you.
I give
Help me, God, to have a right purpose.
Away.
Help me to be persistent in my prayers. And help me, Lord, to persuade my family to walk in the ways of the Lord.
I give myself.
What a great lesson.
So
great woman. A great story. In the greatest book of all. The Bible.
Away.
The Holy Bible. The Word of God.
I give myself away.
We're not having service tonight. Let's all come down and just tell the Lord. You say, well, I don't like it because this or that. No, come down and give yourself away. This is the only time some people ever come to the altar. And you can make this song a prayer, by the way. You don't know what's going on in everybody's heart. Just say, I give myself to you, Lord. Sing it to him if you want to.
My life is not my own.
Neither that child, Lord. I give that child to you.
I give myself.
I give myself, first of all, God, my pride is in order. Because my pride is in order, I can pray right. And because my pride is right, my prayers are right, I understand purpose, God. And because I understand my purpose, I'm going to be persistent in my prayers. I'm going to pray and keep on praying. And then I'm going to persuade my family to walk in the nurture, the fear, and the admonition of the Lord.
I give myself.
Father, I pray for those in this church right now that don't have babies, that want babies. Lord, these women I mentioned in the Bible, they were barren. And they cried out, oh God, give me a baby. Lord, if that's the desire of the heart of a woman in this church right now that's married, God, let them conceive. And bear that child. And Lord, make the delivery easy. You've heard their prayers, God, and I come along in a prayer of agreement for them. Let them conceive, God, and have that baby. Give that baby back to you, Lord. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our spirits, oh God, to the great treasures that you have given to us in families, children, and home.
So you can use me.
But Pastor, you don't understand. I brought my children up in church, but they're not serving God. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Woo! Glory!